Welcome to Passion for the Pastime, where baseball lives 24-7, 365. Catch conversations with beat writers, broadcasters, current and former players of all levels. Now, here's your host.
Walter Icabalseta. Whoops, I fumbled. I got to get out of here.
Walter Icabalseta.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime podcast. I am your host, Walter, and we are back. It is Memorial Day week leading into Memorial Day, and the Giants are in Minnesota. So who better than to talk some Twins ball, some Giants ball, with the great Dan Hayes of The Athletic, Bay Area native, Giants fan at heart. But he covers the Minnesota Twins. So we're going to talk about the Twins, how the Giants looked in their series opener on Monday as they travel. They start their road trip in Minnesota, finishing it up in Milwaukee with the Brats and the Brews. But before we get to that, on Memorial Day, we're going to talk some Minnesota Twins baseball, maybe sprinkle in some NL West talk because Dan Hayes was out in L.A. to go see. And previously before that, he was out in San Diego. So, I mean, this guy is all over the NL West. So we'll definitely dive into that. And now I bring in my next guest. He is a regular of the Passion for the Pastime podcast, Dan Hayes, beat writer for the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic. Dan, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm good. It's weird. I'm in this weird spot right now where I have all this free time, unfortunately, because the Warriors. What are we supposed to do with our nights right now? Like, I'm used to like another month of basketball, and I'm like, what do I do with my hands? I have no idea. So, no, I'm good. The weather is turning for the best in Minneapolis, and that's a good thing. So,
yeah, that was going to be my question, man. How's the weather over there? It's we have a day game on Wednesday, so I'm prepping for the show. We expect no rain delays, right?
No, right. No, we have hit a patch of spring weather, which is good because I commute, so I don't deserve it as much as Minneapolis, people from Minneapolis. But like they absolutely deserve a long and full spring, sort of like actually you guys suffering winters. Minneapolis had like the third snowiest winter in Minneapolis history. And I know it rained like crazy and snowed in these Sierras there. So you guys have a lot in common. And it's so nice to look at this schedule right now and see like 80 degrees with 50 at night for a week, meaning no humidity. Like we deserve this so much right now. They had the most miserable winter. So it's a good time of year.
Yeah, for sure. And you had to have loved coming out to California in that recent road trip to L.A. I got to ask you about that. But the 49ers are actually playing the Vikings in October. What kind of weather should I expect if I'm planning on going to Minnesota?
Well, at least it's indoors.
Yeah. I guess the travel getting to the stadium, I guess, is my question. How bad would it be?
That part's not so bad. The train goes right there. So don't even get a rental car. Just stay at a hotel near a train. It's easy. But it can be crisp and chilly, really chilly. You might get a snow. It's possible that you get a snow. It's also possible you get a week where it's like 60 degrees, 70 degrees. So it's all over the map. It could be 30 and snowing. It can be 65, 70 degrees. That's a little more rare, but, what's really interesting about that is that game one of the World Series would be the following day from that game. So, you know, I'm trying to hope that I'm in town, that, you know, maybe the Twins keep me in town for an extra month and that I'm around and, you know, oh, it's the day off before the World Series. I'm going to go and watch the 49ers. So that would be nice.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man. That'd be great. We're talking weather here on the podcast with Dan Hayes of the Minnesota Twins. I did say that you were recently in L.A. I know you were down there at Dodger Stadium at Chavez Ravine. I just want to get your quick assessment because with the new schedule, you know, the Giants fans, the NL West, we're not seeing these teams as much. Obviously, we're keeping tabs on it, but you've seen them most recently. So I just want to know what's your general assessment? And I think that you were catching the Dodgers when they're kind of, I guess, peaking or trending up right now at this point in the season. But what's your general assessment of the Dodgers from the last time that you saw them?
Yeah, they're really good. That's, but we were there the day Dustin May got hurt, and that's not great for them.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've got a couple guys that they're really worried about in the rotation, and that's not good. It is the Dodgers, and they're really good at going out and making trades. Altman seems like he could be a force in the future. It seems like he's a little inconsistent now, but Max Muncy is dangerous as always, and Mookie Betts is terrifying to lead off the lineup. They have holes. They're a flawed team. They're not perfect, but at the same time, it's the Dodgers, and they have so much talent that, you know, it's, especially given the way the Padres have floundered. I don't expect the Padres to play this way the whole time. Man, their pitching needs to wake up in the worst way. We just saw them too. And their lineup is like 1 through 5, very good. And then 6 through 9, just a dead zone with the Padres. The Dodgers have a few spots in the lineup where we can get outs, but the Twins actually played a great series against them and could have won the series, but the Twins found ways to give away a game or two. But the Dodgers, I mean, they're sound as always. We'll see what happens with Dustin May. It's never good that you go out a month immediately with elbow pain. Mm-hmm. So that could really hurt them a lot, obviously, and they're going to have to find some other pitching. But the lineup looks solid. It's definitely a very good team. And, it'd be cool to see the Dodgers play the Twins here. That'll happen next year. Dodger Stadium is such a home field advantage. I mean, it's got to be worth 3/4 of a run a game, something along that line. It's so loud, and just the crowd is incredible. I mean, I love going there. I always have. And this was a fun couple days because Carlos Correa gets the love from Dodger fans when he's going there. And by the love, I mean 50,000 people yelling cheater at him repeatedly. So it is quite the sight to see.
Man, is that still going on for Carlos Correa and these guys from is that just going to last for the rest of their careers? or is that just a Dodger Stadium thing?
No. It's going on in quite a few places. But what I actually am convinced that people think that he's Derek Jeter, and they're just yelling Jeter, Jeter, Jeter. But I'm like, no, it's Correa, you guys. How have you not figured this out by this point? It's funny. He handles it really well, and he actually likes the attention. So if it doesn't bother him, it's got to be that's not a bad thing for the Twins at all.
Yeah, wrapping up on that Dodgers point, when we were talking about the NL West, they also lose Julio Urias to the IL, hamstring strain. So yeah, they're a little banged up right now. So Giants, the Padres, even got to keep pace. A lot of people are forgetting about the Arizona Diamondbacks too, but they're a pretty decent squad right now early in the season. But I want to go back to Carlos Correa, and you're talking about the fanfare, in LA, and they're calling him cheater and all that kind of stuff. How are the fans reacting to Carlos Correa in Minnesota? He is getting off to a slow start. He did get off to a slow start last season. Then he picked it up in the second half. Is that to be expected, or is there something else going on with Carlos Correa that we don't necessarily know? I mean, with everything that happened in the offseason, it lends you to believe something else is going on underlying that. But what do you say about the fans' treatment of Carlos Correa right now? How are they feeling early in this contract extension?
Definitely they would love him to be pitching better. Playing better. He is not hitting great. I mean, he's hitting like .210 right now, and his OPS is under 700. He got booed 2 weeks ago at home. Mm. And his response was perfect. He said, look, I understand. I'd boo me too. With the money I'm making, I need to be performing better. I mean, we're talking about one of the smarter guys when it comes to dealing with stuff. A week before that, he had gotten called a cheater by White Sox reliever Keenan Middleton. Instead of taking offense to, he said, I've heard worse. And then basically went on to say, I'm just glad the guy is back in the majors and putting food on his family's table. Like he gave the proper amount of shade, like, who is this guy to call me a cheater? But at the same time, he was, handled it well. So he has not performed nearly to his capability. And the Twins offense is pretty awful right now. They need him to get on a run, because if he gets on a run, I think everybody feeds off of that. It just hasn't happened quite so far. And But the encouraging thing about that is they're above 500. They're in the weakest division in baseball. If he does find that soon, you know, you get a team that can thrive and just jump out and run away with the division. And I think that's what everybody kind of knows is possible. And you're waiting and you're waiting. And it's just like, how long do you wait? I mean, it's, you know, he'll have a couple of good games. I think he's right now in this stretch where he's about 4-for-10 with 6 walks. And he's hitting the ball pretty good right now. He needs to sustain it. We need to not be talking about Carlos Correa having a good game or two. We need to be talking about him having a good 6, 7, 10 days where he's just totally carrying the team and other guys feed off it, because it relieves so much pressure. And, you know, this team is struggling in run producing positions. They're 5-for-43 with the bases loaded this season. They're 0-for-7 with the bases loaded and nobody out. It's just beyond ridiculous. And you have a night like Monday where Sean Manaea comes in just, you know, 27 innings, 16 walks, and he feels confident enough to dot the zone and is just chilling the Twins. And I think they struck out 16 times Monday. It's been a weird start to the season. This is a pretty good team. They have really good 1-2-3 in the rotation. Bailey Ober didn't look like it on Monday night, but he's a good number 4, and the Twins are well positioned pitching wise, and now their offense is struggling. It's a very interesting season, to say the least.
We're talking with Dan Hayes of The Athletic covering the Minnesota Twins, and we're talking Carlos Correa and the Twins offense. I do kind of want to piggyback on that, because Carlos Correa, he is the key. I mean, anywhere that he's been in Houston. Obviously, he had, other players, George Springer and Alex Bregman and Altuve there, but he has always been the key, the center point, I guess, especially in Minnesota. And now that you look at Luis Arraez not in Minnesota, you've traded him away with Pablo Lopez coming in. I think that's a good return, but you do lose the bat in the lineup. Is that something to look at here? I know he wasn't necessarily driving in runs, but he was definitely a table setter last year. So is that kind of, you know, triggering the offensive woes so far for the Twins, or what can you say, like, pinpoint what the problem is for the Twins in 2023?
Yeah, I think if Alex Kirilloff is healthy, which he is, if Alex Kirilloff's healthy, if Carlos Correa is doing good, if Jorge Polanco is healthy, and you have three guys who take really good plate appearances at every turn, if you have those three guys around, I think you can mitigate the loss. I think you can counterbalance it, essentially. But Luis Arraez, table setter, is the perfect description, because his plate appearances were outstanding. And I'm not talking about necessarily doubling, tripling, homering, because he doesn't do that a whole lot. He's more of a singles machine and a walk guy. But he worked pitchers, and he wore them down and set up teammates. And I think that's the one part the Twins really could use a little bit of. Joey Gallo actually puts together good at-bats, but he strikes out a lot. You know, it's not the same type of at-bat. And you look all over, and the Twins absolutely need a little bit more of that to just set things up for the rest of the group so that they're able to take good plate appearances too. It has definitely been trying, and there are a lot of nights. There have been a lot of nights where they look like Monday, where they've had frustrating high strikeout games, and they've run inconsistent all season. So they're absolutely in this position where right now a Luis Arraez would help them for sure. It's just, you have to give to get, and they love Pablo Lopez. I mean, they extended him for 4 years and $73 million. His pitch mix is electric. His stuff is probably, I think Joe Ryan has elevated his and has made himself a better pitcher than he was in the past, and that's super helpful. But Pablo Lopez has ace-type stuff. The Twins think that. That's why they signed the extension. So I think they're okay with what they got back. They just need to figure out how to kind of put this lineup together and solve it.
Yeah, you definitely look at that that starting rotation too. I mean, that is, I think, the, at least in the early part of the season, a bright spot for the Twins You look at Bailey Ober. I mean, prior to Monday with the Giants coming in, hitting that 3-run home run in the first inning and ambushing him in the first inning with Michael Conforto, he hadn't given up. He only gave up 2 home runs. So, I mean, yeah. You got good things going at the rotation spot. But yeah, the offense, I mean, you can pitch lights out, but you have to score runs, right? That's the game of baseball. You have to score. So that's going to be very interesting to see. We're talking with Dan Hayes here of the Minnesota Twins. And I do kind of want to get a assessment of, you know, you looking at the Giants from the other side of it. Obviously, I know that you are a Giants fan, and I don't know if you follow them a little more closely than other beat writers around the country, but they have called up their prospects in Casey Schmidt, Patrick Bailey as well, and we have tons of guys in the minors who may make appearances here in the next month or so with Kyle Harrison and Luis Matos and, you know, guys further on down. But when it comes to prospects, because I know that the Twins have Royce Lewis, how big of a shot to the arm do you believe that can bring to a ball club? Because, I mean, you look at the Giants, and what is your initial assessment of these two guys seeing them on Monday in Minnesota? Like, what do you think that they have? Are they big leaguers?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, Casey Schmidt, San Diego State Aztec,
yeah, there you go. I forgot that connection.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say it
number
right,
six
right now. Right now.
Yeah, retire it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right this moment, Casey Schmidt, Hall of Famer, especially with that start he's had, just put him in the books. Now, it absolutely can fire teams up and give them a little extra. And look, Conforto and Mitch Haniger, there's so much more in there, I think, from an offensive standpoint. This team is built to win 4-2 ball games. And I know that's not that exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But Conforto, I mean, we're talking about a guy who hadn't played in a couple of years. The power's been there so far. That's a good sign, right? For missing all of a season, I feel like that's a really good place to be as of right now for him. Like, if this is your baseline, he's a 740 OPS right now. Knowing what we know about him, I mean, he's an 820 career OPS guy. And, you know, I know that Oracle can stifle offense a little bit, but at the same time, I just feel like with him and with Mitch Haniger, what you've seen from Haniger, there's got to be more in the tank. And when your team built to win 4-2 games, which, you know, obviously the Giants need the pitching to perform that part. And there's 3-4 guys who are doing that. You know, I mean, you look at Webb, Des, Clefani, and Cobb, they're doing that. They're keeping them in all these games to win games. And you have a decent bullpen. I know some of the guys aren't performing. But if you can just get enough offense, that's great. And when you know your veterans have more in the tank, anything to get guys fired up is a good thing. So you bring up, and you have to sort of empty out that farm system, do whatever you can to get a sputtering group going. And so I think there's reason to think that, I mean, look, everything had them on paper to win what 85 to 90 games, mm-hmm. essentially. That's still in there. I mean, they have some work to do. There's no question, but they're a game under 500. It's not like they're 10 games under 500 and have a huge hole to dig out of. And I think that when you consider that, that's not a bad place to be. You know, Brandon Crawford, it's definitely not shocking. I mean, I think right now we look at the 2021 season as the outlier for him. You know, the bat's just not where it was 2 years ago, and last year it wasn't. And it's, you know, he's 36. It's not shocking. Maybe that 2021 season more is the shocking one, because it just came from so out of nowhere, really. And it was so impressive, but maybe his best days are behind him. But, you know, if you have him lower in the lineup, that's not going to kill you. But, you know, it's hard to diagnose seeing a team for the first time. And I don't see them very much, just because they play 2 hours behind us and, you know, keep up with them through my dad, stuff like that. But it's definitely a challenge. And they're a group that's going to have to rely on the collective to get by offensively, just because there's no real standouts. They definitely needed Carlos Correa. And I know they're probably sitting there going, man, we're glad we didn't sign Carlos Correa, but You know, Carlos Correa can be the most dominant player on the diamond, and it's not a physical thing with him right now. It's definitely more just trying to figure some things out with his approach, because he is a dynamic player, and that's something that they were missing. That's why they tried to sign him. So since in lieu of signing him, and since they were not able to do that, you better find other ways to do it. And I think that's why you see the Schmidt move and some of the other prospects too.
Well, and I think it's curious that all these prospects are being called up at the right time when Farhan's coming up on a contract. I'm just saying. that's something to look at as well. Dan, really appreciate it, man. Before we let you go here, I do want to ask you about Royce Lewis. I kind of brought him in there with the prospect talk for the Giants. What's the latest on Royce? Is he going to be coming up at the end of the month? I saw some notes that he's hitting home runs over there in AAA. I brought him on to my fantasy team. I have him stashed away waiting for him to get the call. So when's it going to happen, man?
Yeah, depending on how the Twins are playing, when he is eligible. He's eligible, I think, in 6 days. He's been great at AAA. You know, 375, there's been quite a bit of strikeout in there. I think he struck out 8 times in 24 plate appearances so far, but he also has 3 homers. He's been... You know, this is a dude that tore his ACL last May, had just gotten back to the majors, had just started playing again after being out for, hadn't played a competitive game for 2 years because of a torn ACL and the pandemic. And, you know, he tore it up last year, and he keeps surprising. If the Twins are sputtering in a week, we'll see him. I don't know how they're going to make a fit, because they have a very, there's just so many moves that have to be made with this roster, as far as it's hard to see where guys fit. But Royce Lewis, if he's playing that great, he should fit. He's a game-changing type player, the 1-1 pick in 2017. Anytime you have a talent like that and a guy who is energetic and players love playing with him, you got to find a way to fit him in your lineup every single day. So we'll see, but he is definitely on the cusp, and he's been hitting so well. The Twins have to be excited to have these opportunities with guys like him so close to returning.
Dan, as always, it's great to talk baseball with you, talk some Twins, talk some Giants, and NL West in there. We snuck that in there too. So, man, really appreciate you taking the time as always, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me on, Walter. Appreciate it.
All right, and there you have it. Dan Hayes of The Athletic, Minnesota Twins beat writer. Always great to catch up with Dan Hayes. Bay Area native, Giants fan. So, you know, he could always talk about the San Francisco Giants as well. Again, want to thank everyone for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. And the Giants are going to finish up their series in Minnesota going into Memorial Day, Milwaukee. That'd be fun. Milwaukee, Brats, Brews, Memorial Day. Fun times. But again, thanks to Dan Hayes for joining the podcast, talking some Giants, talking some Twins. It was fun. I hope you had fun as well. We'll do it next time. We'll have another one before Memorial Day, probably on the Friday before Memorial Day. So until then, you guys have a good one. Be safe, and talk to you next time.